It's the hour that narrows that way, Lord. It's a very narrow and straight way that leads to heaven, that leads through this path which we are to take at the last hour to the rapture, bypassing the resurrection and going to the tree of life, and we know that very few find it. And we pray, Lord, there will not be one of us tonight who does not find it, but finding it, be happy to walk on that little narrow highway, completely circumscribed by the Word and living on that same Word, and by your grace only being that Word. Help us tonight as we study the truth that has been given to us by vindication. May we know whom we are talking about, to know you whom, to know right as life eternal, and to know those things, Lord, that are delivered in this very hour which we have need of, giving us that grace and comfort and those things that are ours. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're looking at number 18 in the leadership series, and as we proceed in our studies, it is well to make sure we understand exactly what Brother Branham is saying when he speaks to these people about the person of eternal life. And on page 21, he says, "You must accept that person of eternal life, the person of Christ the Word." Now, that statement, of course, is based on John chapter 1, the first verse. And where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And Brother Branham said, if you make Jesus, now he's talking about the person, the Lamb of God, who was baptized by John in the River Jordan, the same one who said, "Restore to me the glory I had with you from before the world began," the same one to whom was spoken, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." If you were to make that Word, that Jesus, you would have begun to work on three gods. At least you'd have two right there, and you'd soon go to the third. The fact of the matter is, Brother Branham said, that was absolutely God, which we know indeed it was, and still is. So, all right, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, in the very beginning, we have what can never change, has never changed, never will change, because you cannot violate God. If you change one word, one thought, one iota, then you have a vacillating God. It might sound very good to call him viable, but that is not true. He cannot be changed with it is neither shadow of turning. What he was, he always will be, and how he does things, he has always done and always will do. So we're speaking of God as we know God, very God. Before there was a speck of stardust, there before there was an atom, all of this was there. So what you're looking at in the beginning was that ability to absolutely manifest himself. And that manifestation, positively coming forth, would be God in whatever manifestation he desired to take. Now, you'll know right away that people often related God manifested to thunder and lightning and, I suppose, tempestuous winds. They even took animals, and they even carved figures, and they made many attempts to give God a manifestation after their own thinking. And you'll notice the Bible says you have no right under any consideration to make a graven image, because this is God's prerogative, and man does not have any prerogative concerning God. Now that's right back to sovereignty, basic solid sovereignty. Keep your hands off of God, keep your mind off of God, keep your imagination off of God, keep your heart off of God, keep everything off of God till God comes to you. And when God comes to you, he will declare himself. And he will manifest himself if he so chooses to manifest himself. So what we're saying here and looking at is that whatever God is, and no man has seen him, And no man can really tell you what spirit is. No man can define it as to actual attributes. There's no way. You just have to stand there vacant, completely vacuous, concerning this person. But in him is this particular ability, and he is letting you know here that God absolutely, in that manifestation, he will be there. Now, watch what he says. And the Word became flesh. Now, this is the hardest thing for Israel to accept. They simply cannot believe that God would become flesh. Now, how they can read the Old Testament and understand the words of Moses and the prophets, well, of course, they don't. But notice your step here. John is using this Greek word, which we understand a word expresses a thought, but that's very poor. It actually, the intrinsicality of God is within that very manifestation. You follow what I'm saying? Now, if the intrinsicality in there, God, very God, would devolve into an act, you're looking at what the heathen looks at, to hear the thunder roll and see the lightning flash across the sky, to see the earth rent. So, well, that's God to them. But watch what it says. It throws you right back to Deuteronomy 18 and to the truth. It says, this God determined, because it already was there, to place his intrinsicality in this flesh, so he would literally become flesh, manifest himself, and thereby what man cannot see and apprehend by the senses, see, although you're seeing it there, coming forth in verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. Now, just a minute. It says right here, he became flesh. Yet no man has seen God at any time. The ability was to manifest, and this is a manifestation, God manifested in this flesh. No man has seen God at any time, and neither can any man see him alive. Now watch, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, in other words, completely harbored, completely sheltered, where he could say, I'm my Father one, don't you believe I'm in the Father and the Father in me, hath led him forth by words. So you understand what we're looking at here. We're seeing this picture where Brother Branham tells you, if you make Jesus the Word, you got three gods. God himself became flesh. His intrinsicality and essentiality absolutely took on a manifestation, a mask or a veil. And what it was at that time was human flesh, when he indwelt the only begotten Son. See, and no man can see God, no man has ever seen him or ever will. The only begotten Son, no other person, has that particular right as this one, which says, he led him forth in words, he perfectly declared him, he was a perfect revelation of Almighty God. So, as I say, when Brother Branham is talking, as he does, when he says on page 21, you must accept that person of eternal life, the person of Christ the Word. Now, what you're seeing here then, when he's talking about that Word, is a literal manifestation of God in human flesh, and you're seeing a complete understanding where he preached before, Christ is the revelation of God. The mighty God revealed by Jesus Christ. So, all right. Now, he led him forth by words. In other words, it wasn't enough for God to simply indwell this person. Now, this is an actual separate person that God is indwelling. It's just the same as these people make an image, and they pray and they hope that the Spirit will come into this image. And they really believe it can happen. And if you go to the voodoo artists in Haiti and those places where they're absolutely ridiculous in their spirit worship, there are people who get invaded by spirits. And when they do, a vacant look comes over their faces and they start moving around the people in the building. And if it comes into your home and touches your foot, I suppose even spitting it, why, you're wonderfully graced because the gods are there. But you see, that's an entire misapprehension and is idolatry and Satanism. Now here you get your real revelation. So he says here, the person of eternal life, the person of Christ the Word, which in other words, the Word himself was manifested in human flesh at that particular time. And now you're looking at the same Christ coming forth in, the same God coming forth in his own way in this particular hour. Now, you want to go a little further. You want to go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and in verse 8. And we looked at that many, many times. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, even your theologians, your Trinitarians, know when this term is used, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, positively is Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. Now, Brother Branham said, he said years ago, before I understood, I used to believe that God hated me and Jesus loved me. And he kind of laughed and said, come to find out it's the same person. Well, now that sounds just like Jesus only. But that's not true. He's talking about the God that he thought hated him. But when that God got into human flesh, he demonstrated absolutely what God is. And remember, he's got to be true to his Godhead, no matter what you think about him cleansing the temple, no matter what you think about him doing this and that, you just keep your nose out of it. The fact of the matter is that God, in his love, in his great love, operating through that Son of his, brought him to the particular place where that one, called the blood of God, could shed his life, shed the blood for remission of sins, and the life of that one come back. Now, Brother Branham was not talking about Jesus the Lamb loving him and God hating him and finding they're the same person. It was the God that indwelt that one, that became flesh, is the one that he thought hated him, only to find out he loved him, because this is how the purpose of God was worked out. Now, I understand some of these things are hazy to us because we simply don't know why God would have to operate by blood. Why would it be within God that these things would take place? This is not for us to question, but it is for us to understand. Now, Hebrews 13 and 8, Brother Branham, always took us to Genesis, I guess it's the 18th chapter. or it's the 19th, one of the two, but I suppose it's 18. We can go back to it. Abraham, the friend of God. And in there, Abraham and God are standing outside the tent, and Sarah's inside the tent in verse 11. 10. And when she's well stricken in age, he says, and lo, Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind God and Abraham. And she was so well stricken in years, she never even was able to to have any seed come forth, any egg come forth anymore. The man world was menstruational period. And Sarah laughed within herself, I'm waxed old now, how are we going to have pleasure as when we were young? And the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Now right here, this is Elohim. You can't change the fact of what we're looking at. So Brother Branham, in talking of the person of eternal life and using Christ the Word, is a prerogative that he uses just the same as Christ is an epithet concerning the name Jesus. Because that is not his name. Jesus is his name. Christ is literally a title or what he is doing, what he is dealing with. what his position may be, but it is not the actual name, and he's called Jesus the Christ, which would be that Lamb which was particularly anointed. Now, thus you can't say that the person of eternal life is the Lamb. It is not the Lamb. He is not the person of eternal life. The Lamb is the mediator and intercessor, and his life is eternal only because of Hebrews, the first chapter. And that tells you exactly what this one is. Now, it says, hath the last day spoken unto us in his Son, in Son, whom he hath appointed. And now notice, God has spoken in that Son, whom God appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the ages. If Brother Branham used it in terms of creation, which is perfectly legal because that's what it says in Ephesians. Who being the effulgence, or the brightness, or the outraying of his glory. In other words, this one here would be the highest assessment. And when you looked at him, you would not look any further for anything whatsoever. This is it. In other words, God becoming the Word, manifesting himself, there would be no one who could ever supersede this in the economy of God. This one here. And if you don't believe it, you go back to the last picture of the book of Revelation and Brother Branham explaining it, New Jerusalem, which is the bride of the Lamb, and the Lamb on the throne, and the pillar of fire above the throne. And before they call, he answers. And you notice in that particular area, Christ is still the high priest. And there's no one, there's no way he can be eclipsed. This is the pinnacle. This is the complete summation and summit. Now watch. He's the express image or the expression of his, of the person of God. Now notice, it's an image. And an image is a copy. An image is not the real thing. This is not God we're talking about. This is the Son of God. Upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Here's somebody sitting beside somebody. So, when Brother Branham uses this terminology, it sounds many times as he's completely Jesus only, but he is not Jesus only. Time after time he says, we are not oneness, we do not believe in two gods, we do not believe in three gods. Yet Brother Branham was a believer in the oneness of the Godhead. There is one God who produced a Son. Now you can say anything, you say, well, God gave birth. Use any term you want. All I know is God and his sovereignty allowed that part of himself, which was there, peculiar, don't try to understand it, was there. That part formed into his Son, and Brother Branham said, a light form. Then like a child praying round the Father's throne and so on, bringing forth all this creation. Again, as he said, the first man was God, the second Jesus, the third was was Adam. So, all right, you can't say that the person of eternal life is the Lamb. The Lamb actually is the high priest. He's the mediator. And he's the intercessor. And right now, he's still working at the job that God gave him. He's still a mediator. Even if there's no more to come in amongst the Gentiles, he's still a mediator because the Jews have to come in, 144,000. Now he's intercessor holding us in. So in the Bible, Brother Branham speaks of the person of Christ, which is the Word, he's speaking of God himself, who when he left the body of flesh, even his only begotten Son Jesus, he went back to the pillar of fire. And that was his manifestation, which strangely only a few prophets have ever seen. And remember, when you use the word Christ, it can be used as anointed or anointing. Now let's just check the scripture, how it's really used. So let's go to the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. And it says here in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Now right there, you can draw a conclusion. And you can see God standing up here and he's sprinkling something on the Son. Or he's got his hand full of oil, which hand you can't see, and he's smearing him. And so your mind can stop there. And that's fine. Let it stop there. That's your mind. That's not my mind. So let's read a little further. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So the anointing from God, and God being the anointer, right? Doesn't it say God anointed him? And isn't Christ meaning anointed? Now, what was Jesus anointed with? God himself. And we're not talking now of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. It tells you right here. And it's beautiful. How God anointed him. How God anointed him. He didn't anoint him like he anointed many. No. He literally indwelt him. Now, if you want to know a little bit more about that, why not go to the book of John, the 14th chapter? Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father dwelleth in me, and he doeth the works. So you see your picture here. So what we're looking at is who is on the scene. See? Now again, I quoted this, but we'll take you to John 17 and the fifth verse, just to let you know it's here. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So here's a very specific thing that we have. We have a Father and Son in a combination and manner that no one else ever had or ever will have. And there's a status here that no one could ever attempt to achieve. This is given out as God said, this day have I begotten thee. This day have I started my generations in thee. And remember, Jesus led in the worship and service of God alongside of Satan. And at that time, this person who took flesh, pre-existent back there, who had his memory and remembered all things, was indwelling the personage of an archangel. Now, if that blows your mind, fine. Just quit believing. So I can't believe. I just, I'm too mixed up. I'm going to walk out of here. See, that's the way people are. That's these Trinitarians and Jesus only, the whole bunch of them. You can't tell them anything, the prophet said. There's no room to tell them anything. There's no place of a change in them. They can't change. Now, even your psychologist is finding that out. You don't change. I've been saying that for years. You only get more crystallized. Unless you've got something in you that can hear the voice of God. Now, Brother Branham further states that at the time of the resurrection and rapture, the bride will be taken up before Jesus Christ comes back in flesh. He categorically says, when that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate, too, we're kind of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all the other titles and names, maybe about 420 for all of them. He further states that life is present tonight. The Holy Spirit is here, and Brother Branham says, calls it Christ in spirit form. Why? Because you are dealing positively with the aspect of the Holy Spirit himself. And he's telling you, it's not here in the physical form. The Lamb never came down, and the Lamb cannot come back to this earth until Revelation 19, and he brings the bride with him. Now, who is it that takes the bride up to the wedding supper? God himself. Now, it is not Messiah in a physical form, for that would be the Lamb. That one's not here. It is the Holy Spirit. God himself is Messiah, the rock that followed Israel. You've got nothing in there whatsoever that tells you in that exit out of Israel, Egypt and into Israel and so on, that was Jesus the Lamb. What you do have is a Lamb slain, portraying the time when the Son would come forth, virgin born, and die. having been inhabited by God, thoroughly anointed with the Holy Ghost by the anointer, which the anointer was the anointing. In other words, he had it all. God was in him. And since God is manifesting himself and thusly fulfilling his own word of promise, exactly as it was given by the prophets, then God is once again, as he was back in Mark 10, the Word. Because that's what stood before this rich young ruler. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell, and when you see him, you see me. And Brother Branham said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Oh, man, that scatters everybody but us spiritual-minded kooks. We're the only ones that aren't insane. I've discovered that by personal looking out upon life. And there's nobody sane but us. We alone have the Holy Ghost. We alone have the spirit of love and of courage and a sound mind. Nobody else has it. They see, they say, well, you're just trying to take us apart and make us separate. I'm not trying to make anybody apart and separate. You've already been separated by the Word of God. The Word of God has separated you that you're a kook and an idiot to everybody else. You're an insufferable jerk. You think you know it all and you think you got it all. Who are you to tell us? You think you're going where not? Ha! Don't tell me they don't have wonderful things they haven't got God. They won't even believe the Bible that Judas was the devil, Diabolus incarnated, casting out devils and healing the sick and everything else. Of course, that's just before the devil entered in him. He was operating all these gifts. You might see a marvelous pope come on the scene, a real Pentecostal, hallelujah, new charismatic bird, full of the gifts of the Holy Ghost like you never seen, just before the devil pops in him and takes over. Oh, that's going to be really something to think about. So, all right, now then, how can anyone be led to God? I didn't get that far yet. God is once again as he was back in Mark 10, the Word. See, positively, the very expression and reality of the Rhema. In other words, everything that God was basically within himself that he could tell us and put into print. That whole person became manifest. Came right down. Even as in John 1 and 18. John 1:14, becoming flesh to the Gentiles and positively giving the revelation. And the great revelation of this hour is there is one God. And that's not Jesus only, and that's not Trinity. See? You understand? All right. To see that totally is to see that the ruler did not turn down the person of Christ himself till he turned down the Word. Now, we're talking in terms of not just Word manifested, God manifested, but now we're talking in terms of the only begotten hath led him forth, thoroughly explained him by words. And he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So the good master, why callest thou me good? There's none good save God. Now Jesus, if he'd have been God, he'd have been lying. If he said there's none good save God, he'd have said, I'm God, you're looking at him, I'm good master, very nice, you recognize me. Or do you think he was a hypocrite? Or maybe God just likes to fool around. Now, if God was fooling around back there, he's fooling around now. Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. So don't you call me good. I'm the son of the good. But he said, I'm not the good one. Well, he said, you really want eternal life? Then he spoke for God, because the words he gave him were God's own words. And so, therefore, he walked away because of Jesus, truly looking at him, you saw God. That was that form, that mask. And as soon as he spoke, the man walked up. He was no different from the scribes and Pharisees who said, for a good work, we don't stone you. But you, being a man, have made yourself equal with God. And the young fellow didn't say, well, here's the point. Now that you've said that, I can't accept any of your works. He had accepted the works. He'd seen something. But as soon as the word came, the declaration, the explanation, which put it blank, revelation. We said, I can't take that. Goodbye. So he went off. And Jesus was very sorry for him because he realized that that young man saw something and had gone so far but could go no further. So he turned down the word. Now, to deny the word is to deny God, and it is done right over here in 2 Peter, the second chapter that warns us that the end time. Now, this follows chapter 1 of 2 Peter. When he's talking about the transfiguration, a picture of the fullness of the epiphany of Jesus, then he goes down and tells you in verse 21, this thing that's going to come to pass at the end time, prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And what's he talking about? We have a word, also a more sure word of prophecy, or word of prophecy made absolutely plain. There's no way that you can explain it away. There's only one thing you can do, is to receive the truth when it comes or deny it. Now watch what it says. But there were, as there were false prophets among the people back there in the Exodus, now this time of this great manifestation, the end time revelation, Jesus Christ coming according to, we call the term always Jesus Christ because we're relating to the fact of what was done on earth in the flesh, Jehovah himself, once more that same spirit completely identified with the man. Brother Branham, completely identified. You're looking at me, aren't you? Complete identification. Now he said, there'll be false teachers among you privately, apart from the prophet's revelation, bringing in damnable heresies, just like this young man denying the one present. Now, you're going to have that. As I say, what amazes me is people running around the world like Sheely and the rest of them. And they're discerning. And when you discern, you are of the devil. Now, that sounds pretty rough. That's why, of course, according to him, I'm doing the bride irreparable harm, because I'm not letting you in on the devil's tactics. I'm trying to keep you from hogwash. The spirit of hell and certain damnation. Because you will. I can tell you right now. So don't try to bluff me. See that prophet right here in the picture? You see that pillar of fire? I put my hand right in the Bible here. And I got witnesses. There are things that are not said on tape but to other brethren. You don't do it. Nobody had it but William Branham. It's not that you can't do, but you will find you will make mistakes, and God doesn't make mistakes. And to be using men like that to back them up in ministries, and they're teaching the filth and corruption that only Pentecostal chaff of the Laodicean final perversion of the whore and her daughters, yes, could bring forth, because they got all kinds of gifts. You notice, when you want to talk about anointing in the Bible, it always goes to the Word. So you can be a Korah, Dathan, a Abiram, or even a Balaam. And you can be anointed to gifts. And a million miles off the Word. And you can be like these guys, even discerned to a certain degree. But you watch how they will fall. See, you don't fool with a prophet. Let's get this flat. Once there is a genuine manifestation, anything purporting to have reality and deviate one word from the truth. Brother Branham said one word off is Satan's kingdom. So who was controlling Jesus while Jesus even used gifts? Who do you think? Or are you just completely deaf, dumb, and blind as to the things of God? Well, you know it was the devil running Judas. And yet Jesus chose him. He had to. They're always there. Those birds are always there. Denying, it says, the very Lord that bought them. Why? Because you've got a perfect parallel today. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And William Branham was not struck dead and continued to be backed up by God. He said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. It's not William Branham that tells these things ever so perfect that happened exactly right. It's not William Branham that raises the dead and heals the sick. But that was the man that did exactly what he was to do for the Gentiles in order to restore the Word. And if you have any sensibilities at all before Almighty God, if you know anything about believing a prophet, you know anything about coming, going anywhere with this message, you have to admit in the third chapter from 19th verse, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, Brother Branham, categorically, by thus saith the Lord, vindicated, authenticated, so that's a healing revival. And a healing revival, to be genuine, brings a new message. Because God doesn't vindicate the same old tire substance. And it says, even God, who brings this healing revival, shall send Jesus Christ, who was appointed unto you, whom the heavens must retain, until there's a restoration of all things. That's going on now. We've got the full restoration of God's Word. It's over. Well, there you are. Now, this age is not unique in that principle or premise of what we're speaking, which people love the man, love the ministry of the gifts, love everything he can do, which is kind and gentle and fine and the so-called winning of souls. But as soon as he stands up there vindicated of God to bring the truly revealed Word of God, they want to kill him. They want to get rid of him. And that's the way it's got to be. I know you say, well, Brother Dale, I don't think so. You know, there people make, oh, shut up. You don't believe in sovereignty any more than you believe there's a light hanging in the ceiling here. In other words, you can't perceive sovereignty, you can't perceive a light. You say, well, I perceive a light, then why can't you perceive sovereignty? He said, oh, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of you will kill and crucify, and some of you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel and the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom he slew between the temple and the altar. Now, there's in Revelation that tells you that the blood is going to come back on the Gentiles and the whole world. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stone them that are sent unto you. How often do I gather the children together? How does God gather the children? By prophets. And what did the prophets bring? The vindicated Word. So God's children are gathered As the scripture said, all thy children, that's God's children, not all human children, are taught of God. Now he uses a prophet. But they say so smartly, we gifts, we can talk, and I don't tell me, I got the Holy Ghost. I can hear from God. Little sister so-and-so sat there. She can hear from God. She heard right out of this church. She had one big fight with Levi on that internet. Don't smart off with me. Did you hear from God? All of you together couldn't touch me with a 40-foot pole what I've gone through. Even heard myself speak. Doesn't mean it's not for 15 seconds it could be a devil from hell. You like the apples? Well, if you look at me kind of stunned, don't you? Can you take it, a bunch of Pentecostals? Come on. Don't kid me. I'm no pushover for hell. One man. One God. One word. One hope. One faith. One bride. One prophet brought it. So you know something. What do you know? No more than I know, which is nothing. Well, my father, I don't care about your father. Bring your fathers here. Let's check their records. I was doing God a service apart from his will, praying for sick. Yeah, I felt sorry for people. When they couldn't use their own faith, I'd say, hey, you can't even use your faith. Just pretend you're a million miles away. Let me use mine. God heal them. I was so bold in discerning. If I never saw the thing appear before me in black and white even. Nothing seemed to be stirring within me. You and I did. I literally defied God, not knowing what I was doing. I said, well, God, I'll open my mouth and I'll say it. And I said it. Come on up here and do it. Bring your parents. Bring somebody. Hey, look, I'll annihilate you. Don't think for 1 minute. You got one thing coming. And I'm not talking about Lee Dale. If I'm not one with the vindicated word, I'm written off the map. I'm not horsewhipping you tonight. I'm just being emphatic. These tapes go a lot of places and don't think they don't. And the preachers hear them. They take out what they like and what they don't like. They just take it and then they hate me all the more. Every age has had the problem with the word. Why do you think they wanted to kill Luther? Why did they always try to want to beat up Wesley and destroy his people? Why in the last Pentecostal age did people come with guns and shoot bullets through the windows in America, in Poland, and places? They wanted to kill them, take them out and beat them. And you always heard the story of the little Pentecostal man who was speaking in tongues. And a Chinaman would come by. Oh, he's speaking Chinese. And he's saying dirty curse words and filthy things. Oh, bunk. It's a lot of crud from hell. Nobody, no Chinaman came by and heard anything in those early days. Only later on they got into that junk. Flip your tape over. So I can get my notes read. Every age has had the problem with the word. It's always the word that separates unto God. If you want to get separated from the devil and let somebody else have a legacy in hell, always look for the word that's despised. And the most despised word right today, not one God, because they think you're thinking like they're thinking, is that word sovereignty. Oh, my. But now, every age has had a controversy over the word, but let it be understood that the bride is herself none other than the word manifested, because she is a part of that original word. She's conceived by it.
So therefore the bride from start to finish is all Word. Even being born again of the Word. And remember, species can't change. So if you're born again of the Word, it means the Word's taken over again. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have the sperm of God coming down. The life of God coming down. Because you are Word. If Christ was that Word and we were in Him, so are all of Christ's Word, just like Him as being a part of it. So, got a few minutes left, we'll read again. Page 24. Brother Branham is talking, you're an outside person. 5 cents to contact the earthly home. You got a spirit inside of that. 5 outlets. And inside of that, you've got a soul. Your physical contact's 165 verse, paragraph. Your physical contact's a physical. Spiritual contact, spiritual. But inside of that, you've got a soul. And that soul is that gene that came from God. And like a baby formed in his mother's womb, when the baby comes into the mother's womb, that is, in other words, when conception takes place, the little germ crawls into the egg. And remember, it's a human sperm and it's a human egg. All right. It doesn't form one cell, a human, the next a dog and a cat and a horse. It's human cells because it's building off an original human cell. Now that's in the physical. In order to bring forth a manifested Son of God. Yeah. And when a man has been born again by the Word, you can't put a cat in a horse and a horse in a cat. You can't put a God spirit coming on a serpent seed, and you can't have a serpent seed coming on a God seed. In fact, if you're not within the complete sovereignty of God as wise and foolish virgin, the Spirit of God will not come upon you if you're predestinated to foolish virgin. So what if we're all foolish virgin tonight? None of us got the Holy Ghost. Praise God, make the second resurrection, and we'll get Him. That's your brother Brand said, don't de-Christianize anybody. Because coming up with the second resurrection. Who are these millions that bring their glory in to the holy city, the bride? The foolish virgin. But you still got to work, remember. It might have to cook them dinner. In other words, we're not going up there to sit around. Thank God for that. Now, when a man's been born again by the Word of God, predestinated eternal life, called the elected, it'll be Word of God on top of Word, Word on Word. Now that's going to be your menu, your diet. The menu is Word and your diet is Word. Not a denominational creed, then a word and a creed. It won't work. In other words, like the human body building you up into that spiritual saint that God wants you to be, it'll be word upon word upon word. Now He's not dealing just with individuals. He's dealing with the whole church, and they are layers of individuals. And every layer of the individual 7 church ages will believe that word for that hour. They might not understand every bit of it, but they won't reject any. And they'll keep asking God to show them the light. Now, you can't have leaven in it. Only one eternal life, Jesus Christ the Word. In other words, He's showing you, Jesus Christ was that manifested one. You can't get by it. In Him was God speaking, in Him was God doing, and He gave it to the people. What He was not for Himself. It was for the people. As they eat my flesh, drink my blood. You got no life. So you're looking at, you're going back to the original. And remember, it's Word. And since that body's on the right hand, the majesty on high priest, mediator, intercessor, who's down here? The one that was in Him. The anointer.
Brother Branham said the baptism gives way to the Holy Ghost himself. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. Went all through that. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Brother Branham said God was made the promise to be manifest in human flesh again. Now, listen. Friends, you feed my children. You send me across the mission fields to the world to bring the message. Oh, that's a good one. Why, Brother Branham, we thought we were sending over there to tell, you know, about the Lord and speaking in tongues and praying for the sick and letting the people know, the heathen know there's a God. He said, the very money you people give me, oh, this must have been a killer. I think it's the last confession Brother Branham made publicly about what was going on. The money you give me, when I go overseas and preach the message. Moses sat there one night, end time evangelism. He was telling him, go over there and lay it on the line concerning the end time revelation of God, what God is doing in this hour. The great new message. So, oh my, this is marvelous. To bring the message. Well, there were some sitting there that did it. I've got to be sincere with you. What I'm looking at, maybe you don't see. That's why I'm here, trying to tell you. It's not because I don't love people. It's because I do love people. Correct it. Remember, the seals corrected everything. Oh, man, that's where they really didn't like it. Oh, my, my. When I see the slipping of the church going off saying, well, we did this and we did that. I'm going all around the world on your money to preach the message. And you're going around saying this, we did this and we did that. Huh? And you're off target. Huh? And look around over the church and see their condition. It just won't work. See the shape they're in. Then look here in the Bible and see it's got to be that way at the end. Oh, my. Now he tells them. The lukewarm Laodicean church putting Jesus out, the Word. Now that's not the Lamb. Nope. But by denying the Word, they deny the Lamb. You understand why? Because the identification never changes. I don't care if it's in Jesus Christ. I don't care if it's in William Branham. And I don't care if God sent an archangel down here, though he didn't. Just the same as when Brother Branham identified himself with Moses and with Paul and the pillar of fire and no other three. You know? Well, they don't like that. Turn down the Word, you turn down Jesus. Now, where's your intercessor? Where's your sacrifice? Where's the blood of the covenant? Doesn't matter. You threw the covenant out. Not saying you did, as people here. Lukewarm, putting Jesus out, the Word. He never called. He isn't going to call any church. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke. I chasten them. Taking the Word and pound it on and telling, you're wrong in it. That's the reason I love you. If you'll open the door and let me in, I'll come in and sup with you, not a church. He's been put out of that. Now, let's just go to the Scripture. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Oh, I love this. Are you with me? I'm having a ball. I don't know about you. I hope you're enjoying yourselves because I'm enjoying myself. That's the first time today that I'm enjoying myself. Today I felt pretty miserable and uptight and sick. I didn't know if I'd make a church or not, but I thought, well, might as well go sick as not. And I'm not sick at all. So, we go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Listen to verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed. Now watch, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Listen, do you know the Ten Commandments said thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and all thy soul. Is that right? He tells you to do it. Is that right? Can you do it apart from a circumcised heart? Oh, can you? Oh, certainly you can't. Well, I can, bless God. That I see Jesus waving at me from the curtain here. I'm not making a joke, although I am. This happened in my ministry, brother, sister, 30-some years ago. Oh, my God, it's more than that. I've been high 40 years. 43 years ago. Forty-two years ago. Yeah. They came with their lights. And Jesus waving behind the curtains. I said, forget it. If Jesus appeared, I'd be crawling under the tile that's glued to the floor. And I didn't even know at that time Brother Branham personally. I hadn't seen the terror on his face as the pillar of fire appeared and wrote on the wall. He looked like a scared animal. Yeah, you don't. You can only deal with God in the channels that He has ordained. And let me read it again. The Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart. That's in the Bible. And the heart of thy seed. Yeah. All the seed. To love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Let's go to Romans. The second chapter. Romans 8:9. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, the circumcision that is of the heart in the spirit, not of the letter. If it's not of the letter, then what is it of? My God, that's the poorest whispery I even heard in my life. Someone should shout it. It starts with the letter R. Revelation. Come on. The letter killeth. But the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And what are His words? The leading forth of God, declaring God, making Him plain. Even the best Moses could get a glimpse of God was his backside. How much can you tell of a person's backside? He identified by the face. And the true assessment of God was seen, His glory in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what He presented. And He presented God. Because God was doing the saying and God was doing the works and He did the works. Before He did the saying. Look it over here in Romans, the 15th chapter. And in the 8th verse. And it says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. To confirm the promises made unto the fathers. What was He circumcising? The hearts. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Huh? That's right. The just shall live by faith, and faith is a revelation. Oh, I know this is gibbity-gook and junk to the world out there. I know they can't follow us. Who asked them to follow us anyway? I'm certainly not going to ask them. Let's go to Colossians. And in Colossians, the second chapter. And in verse 11... In whom we are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Jesus Christ, buried with Him in baptism, when we're risen with Him, through the faith of the operation of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcised your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, and forgiven your trespasses, and so on, blotting out the handwriting, those things which were against you. See, now, what we want to go to is Philippians, though. That's the thing we want to look at now. In Philippians, the 3rd chapter, the great, wonderful chapter in there. In the 3rd verse, well, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You write the same thing to me is indeed not grievous, for you are safe. Yeah, the ball believed in repetition. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. So therefore you are truly circumcised unto God and from the flesh when you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, and the heart begins to be thoroughly circumcised because it's like an onion with layers and layers of unbelief. And as that word comes in, the layers begin to disappear until the ingoing channels are so full of the word and the heart itself so full of the word, the outgoing channels also now begin to come forth. Right? And have no confidence in the flesh, though I might have confidence in the flesh. Now listen, if any man thinks he whereof to trust in the flesh, I am more circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrew, touching the law of Pharisees, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, didn't mean a thing blameless, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but manure, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Well, hallelujah. Let's read in Ephesians. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling, and call everything else manure. Now, Brother Babe, would you dare to call us people? Sure, they're manure heads, manure hearts. I got no apology. I have no apology for nothing. If I gotta die, get crucified, I hate the thought of it. I don't know about what would happen. Maybe like Galilee when they were gonna kill him for saying the world was round and rotated around the sun. He recanted, but as he left the Pope's prison, he said, it's still around, it still goes around the sun. I hope I'm not one of those people. I don't believe that I would be by the grace of Almighty God. But you see, what we're looking at right here, Brother Branham had to come. And he came to circumcise the hearts by the word of the living God. So they could pile word upon word and have a true heart toward the living God in spirit and in truth. And in worship and in love. Now you see why I've been preaching love the way I preach it. I can't help it. Every time I find the word of God in my favor. Don't take this junk you call love. I've been through this Pentecostal hogwash in love. Yeah, love. Messing with women. Telling lies. Picking your pocketbook. Don't talk to me about them or the Baptist. I'll name you a nice Baptist right now. You chipped me the other day. Lied right in my teeth. He's a deacon in the church. I think far as I hear. He's got his pedigree. You know him, Russ. I won't tell you who it is, but you know him. Yeah, great stuff. I've come to the place a man says he's Christian, I don't deal with him. That goes for some of the people who call themselves Branhamites, too. I can name you some names right now, too, and I'm not afraid of them. Forget the names. Here's your picture. Now, let me read on here in Philippians. He said, here, and be found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and even the power of his resurrection. And see, he had gone through the suffering, and the church was going to go through suffering. Brother Branham said it had a suffering dying from the ground. And I read in Ephesians where that knowledge is coming back if you count what you know to be dung. Oh, somebody, Brother Bale, called it refuse. Refuse, my foot, it's manure. I refuse to call it refuse. I'm not sure I'm mean and nasty. If they think people are going to cow me down, forget it. Now he said, taking the word and pounding on it. That's what Paul did. He said, you're wrong. That's the reason I love you. Now he's speaking for Christ from the third chapter of the book of Revelation. If you'll open the door and let me in, I'll come in and sup with you. In other words, he'll eat with you, and you better believe that if he's still the shepherd, he'll provide the food. That's right. And as Brother Branham said, the good woman takes what the good husband provides and feeds it back to him. And that's what you call supping with Christ, is when you can sit with Christ in your midst and not just hear the word, but actively engage in talking it to your edification. Because there's nothing more important. Nothing will be. Now watch this church. She's headed for the ecumenical council. That's where she's gone. Right back into Rome where she came from. That's exactly right. I've got it written on a piece of paper 25 or 33 years ago. There it is. Not only that, it's written in the Bible on visions. She's gone back. There's no way of saving it now. He said that in 56. It's gone. It's going to be that way. This is the sentence of a judge. Now what's he doing? God is calling individuals. Why? See, because narrow's the way and straight is the gate. You can't get a bunch of people going abreast. The church cannot come in. No way. You come in one by one. You take the message. God's calling individuals. I stand at the door and knock. If any man, any person, one individual out of thousands, it might be out of millions. As I said a few nights ago, when Israel came up out of Egypt, there were 2 million people came through. Just 2 people went in. Do you know that's the truth? They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And anybody over 20 could not go in. They ought to die off. So the whole bunch that came out of Israel, Egypt, died except Joshua and Caleb. And I think Joshua might have been 10 years younger than Caleb. Not much more. Nobody else went in. In other words, there might be a hangover, one or two. That's why Brother Branham mentioned the young people going in. His tarrying has been a good thing. Rearing your children under the word, they know nothing but this word. If the Holy Spirit strikes them, enlightens them, they'll be born again, piling word upon word. They'll walk right to the tree of life and right up on the corner which Brother Branham turned, which is an upward corner, to meet the Lord in the air. Lord God, the head of Christ came down, putting all things under his feet, bringing the church together under the prophetic message. You can see that. Listen, come on, 2 Thessalonians. I'll read it now and then we'll quit. Here he says, the first chapter, remember, you that trouble rest with us, and so on. Flaming fire taking vengeance. Never mind that. That's going to come. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and admire them all that believe, because our testimony among them believed in that day. See? Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's his presence, and his presence is right here, because he came down with those angels. And by our gathering. Now, how does he gather? Matthew 23, Jesus said, and it can never change, he gathers by the prophets. So there'll be a prophet in the exact mode of the prophet Paul. Same identified word. I returned to Ephesus. And there we're gathered together by that word. And he said, don't you be soon shaken. That's not in your time. It's coming way down at the end, the time of the deceiver. When the son of perdition, a ministry, twins, son of man, son of perdition, son of God, son of Satan. Judas was to Satan. Now at the end time, we have a prophet on the scene. What happens? The false teachers, Satan's teachers come on back to befuddle the people. Oh, yes, the world's full of them. They're out there everywhere, leading them away from the word. And the people are running left and right to go back to Pentecost. They never came out of it. Good heavens, I spoke in tongues about it, that it made a record volume back in those days when I was in my early 20s. Hey, you'd have had a library full of tongues. Not the one good they did anybody. I'm not saying some weren't real. I'm not telling you that some prophecy and they came right to pass. But I can tell you, there are people that can prophesy even of the devil. Brother Branham said these occult artists, these fortune tellers, but they're more than that. They're the they got familiar spirits. Diviners. Spirits of hell. They can tell you a lot of things too. And they can divine that future. You know stinking well the devil is running their lives and running the people that they can divine. Years ago when I was stupid, I went to guess one or two. They could never tell me a thing. Look at me and go blank. I was foolish to do it, but I did it. But don't worry, no spirit hopped on me. When I heard Brother Branham, when I saw him, that was it. From there on, nobody else could do it. Nobody else satisfied. There wasn't anybody. And there never will be anybody. Oh, you can bring dozens of them. Who cares? I'm salvation proof. They're salvation type. Sure, they'd save me from the devil. Oh, yeah. I got saved from the devil, brother, sister. I ain't getting saved for the devil, to the devil. Forget that nonsense. So right here it tells you the gathering is at the end time. And they come by the prophet's message, vindicated by through Paul and vindicated through William Branham. And when you have a thing that's vindicated twice in a row, what more do you want? Brother Branham said in America he can be vindicated thousands of times. In Africa, just one vindication, 30,000 come to Christ. And the white people mocked the blacks. I think it's about time us white people painted our faces black and pretended we had something. Yeah. Yeah. I pick up the paper and read what the South is still like against the blacks. It's okay. America's finished anyway. Both white and blacks, and yellow and pink and green. Color doesn't have a thing anymore to do with anything. It's the Word. Hallelujah. It's the Word I'm thinking of. That which came from above. That's all I want. Two people went into 2 million. And when Jesus was on earth, they said, our fathers did eat man in the wilderness. We're keeping their traditions. We're doing this. We know where we're standing. He said, your fathers certainly did eat man in the wilderness. And they're everyone eternally separated. They're dead. He never did forgive him. Well, I'll see if I can make my notes up to try to get you in line next night. Next Sunday. See, where are we? Right here. Make a little note. Lord willing, we'll be back Sunday. Well, I should say, if I'm willing, I'll be back Sunday. And if the Lord's willing. Because I think we got to work together on that one. I think we all do. Time is shortening up now. One of these days it may be that be like Brother Branham's last sermon. It would be nice if this was the last series. And well, there's still one more to go, communion, but that's on the other side. Of course, we can talk about it, but we'll soon be there. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again, we want to praise and thank you for your mercy that you have allowed us to come together to study your word, to see these things that you, Lord God, yourself are here. The same pillar of fire that came to Paul, came to William Branham to reveal the same word, to give it to us. And now that same pillar of fire, we know that same God, Elohim Jehovah, is here to lead us into the millennium and take us up, whereby we will meet our Lord, even Jesus Christ, the Lamb, in that great incarnation, we might say, at the great wedding supper. And there to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a tremendous thing to realize that this coming, the great glorification of that Son coming, glorifying him by yourself. And to think the bride has also come to the place of you glorifying the bride by your presence. What a fantastic, marvelous thing to know that you vindicated yourself right in the open, but only the bride could see it. A secret revelation in the wide open spaces. What a marvelous thing you've done, Lord. And how marvelous all the more to know that our eyes have seen and our ears have heard. And now our hearts can contemplate by via the mind and our spirit and rejoice in there with our heart being daily wonderfully circumcised by the Word of God to come to that place of that love, Lord, which you alone can cause us to have. And you're doing it, Lord. I believe you're doing it. I believe you've done it, and you're doing it, and it's coming forth, and will continue more and more until the day of the catching away, when there's a marvelous explosion of a Roman candle, to then go further apace as never before into the glory and the light of our God. Sanctify thy people as never before by thy word, Lord, and let this same message of healing power to the soul radiate through bodies, to heal bodies, to keep them strong and firm and healthy, to go down that road, hoping, trusting, believing that we'll meet you here in the rapture, right on this earth here, our mortal bodies changed to see the dead come forth and go on up together. Father, we thank you for this great privilege, this glorious opportunity. Forgive us for mistakes we make. Forgive us for anything wrong with our spirit or any way, Lord, we project ourselves. Help us, Lord, to be truly humble and downright subservient to you, Lord, magnifying your name, honoring your sovereignty, and becoming more and more sincere, not obsequious as people would think that. No, because humility is not such as to make us believe what we are not, but true humility, Lord, believing your word. And that would be, as the prophet is talking so many times, told us about the African prince that came over here, remembering he was the son of a king and bore himself likewise. Let us also, Lord, enter into that gracious conduct and holy life, the regality which is of you by that life that came from you and flourishes by that word. And now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, do you love him tonight? That's good. Take the name of Jesus with you.